So the study, once again, we started last week, was called Proactive Protection. And it's funny because as Brother Ty was asking that question, it's something that this is why, you know, I'll tell people, you know, we tell people when they get married, of course, you didn't need to come in. God bless you. You need to come in for counseling. But I also told people before they have children, you need to come in for counseling. And it's not just counseling is not something to get in your business or make you feel bad. It's a guidance in the Bible to prepare you for. In fact, a lot of us sometimes go to church for what we're going through. Well, you should go to church for what you're preparing for. And everybody's preparing for things that are going to come. All right. We prepare as a Christian. A wise Christian prepares for every source of danger that can happen to us. Okay. A Christian that's not being wise Christian, they'll go after, they'll just hope stuff doesn't happen, if that makes sense. Stuff doesn't happen bad to them. So the key is this Bible gives us the instructions so when we confront things or deal with people or things, we're prepared for it. That's why it's called proactive protection. I'm going to do a quick review of what we did last week. First of all, we have to realize God is our protection. Now, just as we were asking the questions, and I was saying, as the Bible says, when I do something outside of God, I'm outside his protection. Okay, so now if I don't understand that, I'll add God plus other things. This is why other people depend on their intelligence, they depend on their weapons, they depend on their money, and all of that is meaningless if I don't have God. It may seem to protect you at moments, while in reality you're in complete danger. It gives you a false sense of security, if that makes sense, okay? So we have to recognize he is my protection, so my goal is to always stay in him. Does everybody get that? Okay? We also seen that God protecting Job by recommending him to Satan. Do y'all remember that? And you're like, wait a minute, how did he do that? Remember he said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And some may go, wait, why would he do that? Okay? Because Job was going to stay in God's protection, which he did. His friends attacked him. When he lost everything, even his kids, his health, right? He stayed within it, and we got a good lesson of how to stay in God's protection, okay? Now, when we think in our human minds, we think God would have said, nope, Satan, stay away from Job. Don't you touch Job. And that's what we want. And this is why we need God to give us the understanding of that, or we'll explain it wrong. Think about that. If anybody else would have asked and you didn't read Job, you would have said, oh, he'll keep him away and he'll never attack you. And that's what some people think. Oh, because I'm a Christian, Satan stays away. No. Okay, in fact, he's going to attack you even more, but God's protection is how his attacks do not affect you. Does that make sense? All right, and we understand that by staying in him. All right, we see that wisdom is preparing before the work. Okay, so it's you getting all the information from God, knowing that that day is going to come or you're going to go through some hard times. All right, and so we had to see the items that we needed in order to be proactive, and that's contentment. Please understand contentment, and to understand true contentment, remember it says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. A lot of us don't have contentment. We like to say we are, or we have the worldly definition of contentment. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to be rich, I just want to be well off? Okay, what they're saying is, I want to get to the point where my flesh is comfortable. Okay, that's not contentment, because your flesh is going to change. After your flesh is comfortable, then it's going to go, oh, I want more. Okay, godly contentment is content no matter the situation. Does that make sense? So you can give me a whole lot or you can give me less, and I'm going to always serve God. There's nothing you could do to me to make me stop serving God the way that I'm supposed to. Okay? We have to know and teach real love. 1 Corinthians 13 shouldn't just be read at weddings. Okay? It's something that gives us the characteristics of love. So when you go through that, you say, am I truly loving? You read that and you get a chance to see that. Fearing and trusting God protects us later. So if we fear and trust God now, and what do I mean by fear and trust God? I'm in God's word to get God's instruction in order to do it. And I do it with an attitude of, I have to do this. Do y'all get this? Like, how many times do we go to church and we're like, yeah, I didn't pay attention. What did he talk about? I don't know. You know, one reason why we have question and answer is so you can ask the question on things you don't understand because you're like, I have to get this. Right? When you're in school and you know a test is coming up, you're going to your professor or whoever, I got to get this. I need to understand this. Why when it comes to God, when we don't understand it, we just go, oh, well, you know what I mean? We just kind of not realizing this could be a life or death question that you need to know. And going to church and getting the word in order to prepare for what may be coming. We instill godly qualities in order to protect. He talked about discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you. See, these are things how protection works. It's not keeping us out of danger. This is why, you know, as you see, we're going through this. One of the worst things we do today is we protect our kids by avoidance. Like I said, you get those parents who sometimes can be holier than thou. They don't get to watch TV and they don't get to listen to radio and they don't play with this friend and they don't do this and they don't do that. And you sound great. The problem is you're not around. They get older. Who's going to protect them from it? And then when they're confronted by it, how are they going to deal with it? Amen? Okay? So now what I'm not saying is just expose them to everything. I'm saying you prepare them, right? That's what discipline does. You prepare them. You're going to confront people like this. You know what I mean? I tell if your child's in a class and they don't like the teacher, you encourage them on how to deal in that class with the teacher. Not, hey, I want you to get me another teacher. Does that make sense? Because when they get older, you're not going to be able to go to their job and say, hey, I want you to get them another boss. And give them another thing. And they say, how about this? We give them another job. I give them out of here. And there's nothing you can do in that. But you prepare them. So Christians know how to deal with difficult situations and difficult people. So how do we live proactive is where we started in there. It says we make sure all plans are God purposed. Everybody say God purposed. The problem is we say God purposed. But if you really did an inventory of your life, is everything you're doing God purposed? Now, what God purpose doesn't mean is I do everything and I just say, this is for God. That's not God purpose. That's just me adding God at the end of it. God purpose is, if I ask you, so why are you doing this? You'll go, oh, because the Bible says. Y'all see the difference? Okay. Keith, how come you didn't act this way? If I, you know, Brother Ty, how come you didn't act this way tomorrow? Well, because the Bible says. Now, I know what I wanted to do, but because the Bible said, you see, he made it God purposed. The danger is if I made it my child purpose, and nobody's going to do this to my child. The problem is, I can't protect my child completely. My child can't protect my child completely. Only God can protect us completely. Does that make sense? Okay. So the proactiveness prepares me so when I go into things, I'm ready to deal with it. So where we last left off is where it says, ask yourself, what do I invest in? Okay. Am I right? Okay, so making sure. All right. So Luke 12, 16 through 21 says, and he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be determined from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone, watch this, who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. See, if I'm doing this where I'm living for me, my happiness, my wants, the way I see it, if that's what I'm investing in, as he said, you're a fool. Do y'all get this? It's foolish. And be honest with you, unfortunately, the majority do that. In fact, some of us even go to church for God to make me happy based on me. Not realizing, no. What I'm supposed to do is live for God. And then in living towards God, I get the true happiness. I get the true blessings. I get the true, and you underline the word true. You know, in service, we're going over true riches. And I showed you the difference between those two churches, Church of Smyrna in Revelations and the Church of Laodicea. And I can assure you, if you took somebody down there who's not in the Word and showed them the Church of Smyrna, you would go, that church must be cursed. What did they do wrong? Oh, man, they're not blessed. Took you to the Church of Laodicea, and they would have like, man, they're blessed. I want to go to that church. Man, I want to be just like them. But when you read what God said about it, he said, Smyrna, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. Y'all remember that? And he said to Laodicea, you said, I'm rich. I have plenty. I'm in need of nothing. And he said, but yet you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And that's crazy, but if I'm not spiritual, I won't know that. I'll base it on what I see, not what on God says. Amen? So when you invest in you, and that's what Satan wants you to do. Either he wants you to cry what you don't have, or he wants you to be proud of what you like. This man was saying, you're in good shape. He says, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And then God's response was, you fool. You understand that? He's like, you're storing up things for you, based on you. And how many of us do that? right? Are we growing to see, hey, what exactly does God want me to do? Investing in God is not just talking about money, and that's even the least point. It's what are you, how do you invest your life, period? What is your life purpose? Was your marriage based on what God said? Was your job based on what God said? Is your everything you do based on what God said? Even something as simple as driving to work. Remember, the verse goes, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, right? So if this is it all, I have to take everything into consideration. Clothes I put on, why did I put on? How did this glorify God, right? And you'll be in the Word understanding even the littlest things to understand how to glorify God in everything. Does that make sense? So don't be fooled by what we see by sight. So then we would have, what we have to do is assess all plans before you do them. Look what it says, Proverbs 14, verse 8. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Now, I'm sure you, when we don't stay in the Word and we get the distorted definition of faith, you'll get some Christians that'll go, yeah, let's just do it and have faith. Have you heard people do it? Let's just do it. Right? And we call that faith. That shows ignorance, because we call that faith. We don't understand what true faith is. As he said, faith is me listening to God, and God told me I'm going to think it through. Should I do this? Let's talk about it. He gives us wisdom to look at situations and to make wise decisions. That's faith, believe it or not. Do y'all get this? But how many times we just do things and God will take care of it? Now, unless God clearly said, go do it and I'll take care of it, that's faith if you follow what he said. But if there's something I would like to do, I'm going to assess the entire situation. This is God saying this. And in me doing that, I'm staying in his protection. Does everybody get that? Okay. I'm following him based on what he says. He also shows in Proverbs 14, verse 15, simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. Do y'all get this? All right. I told you the reason why they put commercials and the things that they do on TV is because we'll buy anything. Okay, and at times I can be that simple man. Give me a good commercial, it's going to be in my house. Only for my wife to go, show me how it works. And it doesn't work. You understand that? And it's funny because we do that in life. We get conned by life itself. A lot of us make decisions at that moment thinking, this is going to make me happy. Does that make sense? Very dangerous. And that's a simple man, because right now that's how Satan got most of us, in a sense of where we're following a dream of what I think is going to make me happy. But he says, the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. He's going, what am I doing? He'll go, how is this glorifying God? Does that make sense? Next step, how is this glorifying God? Everything he does. So if somebody ever approached him and say, explain to me what you're doing. Well, the Bible says, and this is why I'm doing it. He thought it through. He got an understanding of it. Somebody else says, I just stepped out on faith. You've heard that statement? Step out on faith. They're using that statement incorrectly. Y'all catch this? Because you see the Bible saying use wisdom. This is part of that proactiveness. Then after assessing the situation, act wisely. Act wisely. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, watch this. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now I see more Christians being the second than I see them being the first. Because this doesn't just mean you're driving down the road and saying, you know what, maybe we should stop, right? Have you ever drove and you're going somewhere far and you're tired? Prudent man will go, we probably need to stop somewhere to get some sleep. Simple, no, I'm going to keep going. I'll be fine, right? Okay? A prudent man will look at the situation and assess. And God gives us that wisdom. When I assess and go, you know what, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't spend this. And it'll all be based on God, not based on Keith Smith's fears. Not based on what other people say, but assessing it through the wisdom God gave us. Remember, if you don't think you have wisdom, he says, ask for it, and he will give it to you generously. All right? So I ask God for wisdom, and then I use his wisdom as I assess the situation. That's God's protection. You know what he's saying? A prudent man sees the danger and takes refuge. He immediately realizes this is not good. You watch in the movies, and they always make a brave man go straight into it. While the Bible calls that a fool, we go, that's a brave man. And then we raise our sons to be brave men. You just go after them. You know what I mean? And that's foolish. Stupid, even. You understand it? But we call that brave. You see how Satan got us twisted and mixed up? Right? Instead of a wise man going, this situation ain't going to us, time to go. Right? You know, it doesn't make sense. We need to probably leave this alone. So you get an understanding of how he protects us. So sometimes we get in danger by not following it God's way. You won't notice if you don't study God's word. It goes on. I'll make sure I'm in the right place. All right. Know the difference between your responsibilities and doing extra. Okay? What does that mean? Look at Luke 17, 7 through 10. He says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? And so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Today, Christians, when they do something that they're supposed to do as a Christian, they want a reward. Amen? Even though we're supposed to be living that way, I want a reward for it. Today, I acted like a Christian. I know all last week I wasn't acting like a Christian, but today, and not even today, it was an hour today. One person needed help, and I did something to what the Bible says, and I want a reward. Does that make sense? And we don't realize we do that. While God is saying, no, that's what you were supposed to do. Amen? This was your responsibility. And if I'm supposed to do that, why am I getting a reward? Why am I even asking for a reward if that's my responsibility? You see, people who go to work today, and they say, this is your job, what you're getting paid for. You understood that when you got the interview and all of that. And you get some when that get mad when your boss says, okay, now I'll do your job. I was doing something else. I was reading. I was sitting here. I'll get to it when I'm ready. Wait. We hired you to do your job, right? That's your responsibility. Do y'all get this? So what God is saying in life, if a Christian realizes the things that we're asking rewards for, you know what I mean? He's saying, but that's your responsibility. It's what you were supposed to do. We get at work, sometimes they do these things. It was called ACEs at one point. There was a lot of things that they gave rewards to people for doing a good job. And the people higher up think, this is going to be great because we're going to reward people who do a good job. Here's the problem, and I've seen it many times. There are people who are consistently doing their job. That's what they do. In fact, if you've seen them do otherwise, you would be surprised. They do their job and they do it well. They never get that reward because they're just doing what they normally do. The ones who get it are the ones who come in, and that day they do their job. And it's crazy, and if you look around, that's how we reward people. Amen? Instead of realizing and understand, God is not going to reward us that way. Those who are doing what they're supposed to, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But those people who think, hey, God, I was a Christian yesterday. Wasn't this a great thing I did? Do you understand that? And he's going to be like, wait, are you just doing what I told you to do? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Keep that in mind. Check your life. You know what I mean? Stop feeling like, well, I'm a good person because I did this yesterday and I did this that day. Understand, like he said, the servant says, we have only done our duty. The more you know that, it does bring you back down to earth, doesn't it? You know, those who feel like, I'm a good Christian, you look at it, no, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to with the strength he gave me. And I better do it again tomorrow. And I better keep doing it till the day I die. All right? Not God, give me credit, I'm better than I was last year. How many of us have that? Did you see how I was last year? I'm better now. Okay, that's great, but are you doing what you're supposed to? Yeah. Then you're just doing what you're supposed to. Amen? Okay? And also, raising our children should be a proactive training. A child's protection is from godly parenting. Look what it says in Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. Now, let me show you something here that's shown. It's talking about how we raise them, so we give them rules, and our rules better be based on God's rules. Do you understand that? And then when they fail or don't do them, that's where punishment has to happen. And why does it have to happen? Not because you're angry, not to be mean, but to train them. Does everybody understand that? Of, you didn't do this, this is what happens. You want to teach them life, right? You do what God says, you're in line. Now, and also let them know, it may not always look that way. We walk by what? Not by. So please get that understanding, because sometimes kids will think, because I did this, shouldn't I have gotten? No, it's not how life works. All right? Just understand, you do right, you're right by God. Okay? Stop giving them always a visual outcome. Give them the godly outcome. Let them know when they've done well. Okay? But be careful. But you train them in the obeying and following commands. We don't do that. We reason with our kids today. Please clean your room. All right, I'll help you. All right, I'll do this for you. Do you understand that? Why would they then follow God when we're reasoning with them instead of telling them in the Lord, and it's a loving way that we're supposed to, in which we're guiding them in God and how to deal with it? That's why he says, teach them. He says, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So how can I train that when I'm not enforcing that? Think about that, right? If I say keep your father's commands, and they come back, I told you my grandmother was notorious. She was the one who raised us for the most part. And we would do anything. We can give her any speech and any excuse, and it'll always come back to, but what did I tell you to do? Right? First of all, we didn't remember we were in trouble. Second of all, if we did knew what she said and didn't do it, we were in trouble. So we were in trouble either which way unless we did what she told us to do. And it made us know she told us not, we have to do what she told us to do. In the same way, I have to do the same thing with God. That's where it calls the fear of God or the reverence. But God said. All your other friends are doing, yeah. But God said. Y'all get this? I'm only doing what my father told me. I'm not going to follow you. And even though it looks like it turned out good, I know it really hasn't. Because I'm going to stay with him. It says also, we raise our children now to prepare them for the future. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train the child in the way he should go. Let me stop there for a minute. The word train is much stronger than the word teach. Teaching is included in training, but training is teaching and then putting it into practice. Do y'all get that? All right? So you don't give your kids chores to make them maids and clean up your house and change your house. It's not for your house. Do you understand? I used to tell my kids, I don't need you to do this. I'm training you on how to be responsible. So I gave you a responsibility, and I gave you a time to do it. I expect you to do it. As God has the same thing for us, right? Why do we become lazy and self-centered? It's because we sometimes were brought up that way, spoiled in a sense. You got where I'm coming from. Sometimes in our lives, and think about it, I think all of us go through this, we would desire something, but we only have this, and we're thankful for it, right? So then why do we do things like with dinner or something like that? We give our kids, we make the food, and we give them something to eat. They don't want it. And we say, okay, so what would you like? And we throw away that and give them what they would like. And God does that for us all the time, right? Right? Yeah, have you ever said, God, this life I'm going through right now, I don't like. And he throws it away and gives you nothing. That's exactly how it works, right? And this is why some Christians are struggling, because we're looking for a desired life, not being thankful for a God-given life. Does that make sense? He never made that promise, I'm going to do it based on you. He's always going to do it based on him. Because my enjoyment better not be in my situation. My joy is based on him. Does everybody get that? When a kid understands, the child understands, whatever my parent gives me, they're giving to me because I love them. Amen? And not, they'll give me what I want. Okay? So it says, train up the child the way he should go. And the only way, because you see that word way, and we know there's only one way, which is Christ. So you train him up that way, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So some say, I've done this and it didn't work. No, you probably taught, and you probably did it in pieces. Your examples were probably bad. You understand that? And no, that's why it doesn't work in many cases. For those who do it, how you act, what you teach, how you train, that's what this means. This means everything you do in their life is to train them. So when they go out in the world, they're prepared for any situation. But if they watch you act crazy, they watch you deal with things wrong, you let them get away with stuff, you give them anything they want, none of that is training. Just because you had a moment here or there, you sent them to Sunday school, do you understand that? If training is going to be a continual practice. Everybody got that? You understand that? A continual practice. Then when they are old, they will not turn from it. God warned us what's in the children he created. This is every child, what I'm about to read here. Okay? Proverbs 22, verse 15, it says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. It didn't say some child. It didn't say the child next door. It didn't say my second child, not my first child. No, it says folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Remember, your heart is your purpose. You see it from a baby, they're really looking, and we just say, oh, that's them being curious. No, they're ready to get into something. Do you understand that? You train them not to get into it. Okay, I remember one of my nieces came over our house, and she was crawling towards the plug, and my wife plucked her in the hand, said no. She cried a little bit, went towards the plug, plucked her. You know what I mean? And this went on back and forth. Now, yeah, some people, oh, well, she doesn't know any better. She said she's going to know better. Do you understand that? To where, towards the end of it, maybe after two or three times, she's really hard-headed, she would crawl towards it. Do you see her turn around and look at my wife? Now, she understood something. Do you understand that? If she really didn't understand, she would just kept doing it, and no matter what you, but she stopped, and she would look at her like, I can't touch that, can I? And she understood that. Do you understand? Because he said, in the child is that folly. So when you leave them to themselves, they disgrace themselves, and they disgrace you, and you put them in danger. And this is what happens when we spoil our children. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Watch this. But the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. What it didn't say was the rod of discipline may. It said will. You understand? And discipline is carefully done. Please understand that. Okay, you get some people that punish out of anger. That's wrong. That's abuse. Okay? Some don't punish at all. That's wrong. That's abuse. Do you understand me? All right? Punishment comes in a way, and not just punishment, discipline or training them. Why do you give them a curfew when they get to a certain age? To train them. They might, I'll be okay if I went out past this time. I know you would. That has nothing to do with it. I see it come in at 11. Right? My kids knew. You came in at 11:01, you were in trouble. Do y'all get this? It's a training. It had nothing to do with that time. There was nothing different on 10:59 that was at 11:01 or 11:02. You got where I'm coming from. It was, you got to follow this rule. And the same thing with God, how God shows us. If he gives me something, I want to go, you know what? I don't want to miss what God told me. Not, God doesn't care if I. And that's what a lot of us do. God doesn't mind if I. The problem is you have to eventually answer to God. Do y'all get it? And he's not going to be as light as you think he is. God warned us about the children, so discipline is a must to save the child's life. Okay, and understand discipline. Proverbs 23:13-14. He says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. And this is talking about eternal death here. This is talking about going to hell. Do you understand that? If you punish him. And today we have a lot of kids that are struggling because we don't. Punishment is non-existent, or we do this very weak punishing when it's not based on God. 14 says, punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. That's how I know it's not talking about the body death. The first death we go to is the body. Remember, it says, don't fear man who only can kill the body, but fear God who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Do you understand that? So if I train my child with discipline, okay, and when we hear discipline today, the reason why it becomes such a bad word is because you have some bad actors who are doing it incorrectly. In no way is it talking about abuse. In no way is it talking about doing it out of anger and inconsistency. And what I mean by that, you'll have some parents that will punish the child today because they had a bad day at work. Tomorrow, that child can do the exact same thing and you do absolutely nothing. You understand? When my dad was there, that's exactly, we knew that. We were like, he'd come home, what kind of mood is he in? Not, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Think about that. You know, as old as I am, I still remember that to where in my mind, it wasn't, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? It's, what kind of mood was he in? And that shows an inconsistency. And that's a bad part of discipline. It's not discipline. It's just a timid fear that you bring up in them. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Did y'all catch that? When that child was going to that socket, and then she finally turned and looked at my wife, the part of it was, it imparted wisdom of, maybe I shouldn't do this. And I think all of us agree, a pluck was much more than if she stuck something in that socket. Do you understand this? Okay? And it's something that you want to instill where they'll go, I really want to do this, but I'm not. And I think all of you have experienced this. You've gone through life and you had desires that were dead wrong. Correct? And if you had godly wisdom, you would have gone, I really want to do this, but I'm not. Amen? You didn't. You went and did it, and you're paying for it, or you're going to pay for it, and you see how that works. Amen? So this is why we have to put that correction in them. Now, this this parable we're about to read displays the importance of doing what we are supposed to, because we don't know when it's time to answer. In other words, we don't know when the final thing is going to happen. So this is what he tells us how we're supposed to live. Watch this. In Luke 12, 35 through 48, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Now, what this means is we kind of know Jesus returning instead of know Jesus returning. We don't know when, so why aren't we prepared all the time? Right? How come we're not prepared all the time? We kind of take him for granted. And you can tell by the way we live our lives. We live at, well, it's really not going to happen now. You sure? Because the time he comes, you know what I mean? That's when you have to answer. It says in verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. Your life is going to display if you're watching or not. How I live is showing if I'm watching or not. He says, I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready, even if he comes in second or third watch of the night. Watch this, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have let his house be broken into. In other words, he's saying, if Jesus would have said, okay, I'm coming back in 2000, blah, 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 and at this date and at this time, you would act like a fool until maybe 2 days before. Right? Okay? All of us would do everything we're good. He's not coming back till next year. I'm good until next year or whenever. And that's why he said, no man knows the day nor the hour. And I have to live as if it can happen right now. And whatever I'm doing is where I'm stopped and where I have to get caught doing. We played that game. Remember that red light, green light, stop? Y'all remember that? Older kids might remember that. Little kids might. I don't know if they still play that. But you remember when the person turned around, wherever you was, that was it. And if you were standing in an awkward spot and you fell, you were out. You know what I mean? And that same thing, as life is going, I have to live in such a way that he's going to say stop any minute. And every time he looks at me, he's like, he's exactly where I expect him to be. Not, I'm going to live my life until. You understand that? He says, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And at that hour, he is not aware. And watch this. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with who? Unbelievers. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so I know sometimes we think grace means I can live like a fool and I'm covered. That's not what the word says. Grace means I have the power not to live like a fool. Now it becomes a choice. Do y'all understand this? So I live my life all free thinking, well, when he comes back, I'll be ready. Are you? See, the Bible shows me how to be ready. So that's what he wants to see, me living as the Bible tells me to live. If not, it means I never accepted him. Or I accepted him and turned back from him. It's going to be, remember, how I can tell you are a Christian, how you can tell I'm a Christian, is how I live. All right? Remember, it's not by works that we get saved. Not at all. But my works will display me accepting him. That's why he says you'll know them by their fruit. Does everybody understand that? Everybody got that? Okay. It goes on to say in verse 47, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does the things deserving will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So as a Christian, we're expected, as you mature, yes, you're expected to know more, because that's how you're going to have to answer to him when he returns. Does this make sense? Okay? It puts our life into perspective, hopefully, If a Christian catches this, you'll come to church and go, "Pastor, I got to know this. This is my life." Not, "Will I go to church today? Yeah, maybe I will. And if I go, will I pay attention? Maybe I will." Do y'all get this? You'll go, "I have to get this." Right? Nothing would stop you from getting it. Look at this other parable. The parable displays the importance of being spiritually prepared. Matthew 25:1-13, it says, "At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were what? Foolish." Remember, only the Bible can call somebody foolish. "And five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them." I'll explain that. "The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour.'" Now, let's get an understanding of who and what each represents. Now, of course, the virgins were all Christians. You understand this, okay? The oil represents, and we know the oil is just like an oil used in the Old Testament, it's the Holy Spirit, and how I invest and gain into the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit works is I invest or put into the Holy Spirit by getting from the Word. Does everybody get this? Now, I spend time in the Word to understand it, to get it, to apply it. That's the ones who have the oil. I spend time in the Word, but I got other things. It could be work. I'm feeling tired today. I got all this stuff, and I invest in that, so I don't have as much oil. Y'all see the problem here? Okay? And what he's showing is my life is going to display if I'm living by the Holy Spirit or not. Okay? You can study every day, but it's meaningless if I don't study it, understand it, and apply it. That's the oil. That's the ones who have, they're doing this because they're like, all of this comes down to how my life is going to be displayed and what I have to show. Everybody got that? Okay. However, the ones who don't, they accepted Christ, but, you know, church is secondary or maybe third or whatever. I read my Bible sometimes, but I'm so busy, I got other things to do. You'll have all these other excuses. Sounds good, but now it's going to be the thing that's going to hold you back. And you saw the danger. It can be that group that all this time called themselves a Christian, but they invested in this world, and then when it's time to now meet him, "I never knew you." Does everybody get this? Our responsibility is to God. I can't stress this enough to everyone. Okay? Y'all should be demanding from me, give us as much as you can, as often as you can, Pastor, because we have to have this. So don't get caught up in your self-comfort and mislead yourself and miss out on all this protection that God has given us, all the answers that God offers us, and this path that he provides for us. Amen? Any questions? All right. Let's pray.